Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll learn about a Veterans in Crisis training course for law enforcement officers, and we'll see what resources are available for our homeless Minnesota veterans. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Congratulations to the soldiers and candidates in the recent Minnesota Best Warrior competition at Camp Ripley. A handful of very capable and competent soldiers have spent a weekend competing in physical and mental challenges. They pushed themselves to the limit to earn the opportunity to compete regionally and represent the Minnesota Army National Guard. To go through what they have been through in preparation for the competition says a lot about their character and the strength of the young soldiers in this state. They've been tested physically and mentally through many challenges, including a 12-mile ruck march and going before a board testing their Army knowledge. These soldiers have also excelled at soldier skills like weapons qualification and land navigation. These men and women take the occupation of being a National Guard soldier very seriously. They are role models for their peers. They are the best of the best. I am proud of each of their accomplishments and their contributions to the competent, ready force within the Minnesota National Guard.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to Minnesota Military Radio. Joining us now to talk about the Upper Midwest Community Policing Institute's Veterans in Crisis Training Program is Wayne Shellum. Wayne, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
That's quite a mouthful. I don't know why every time we get one of these programs, it's got to have 15 words in it, does it?
Yeah, that's very true. It's a long sentence for a training topic.
Wayne, I understand you served in the Minnesota Army National Guard.
I did. I went in February 1970, spent 6 years. I was with Headquarters Battery, first the 151. It's a field artillery unit.
And did you enjoy those years?
You know, I did. It came at a good time for me, and it was very enjoyable. We had a good time.
Good. And then you had a career in law enforcement.
Yes, spent 32 years. It overlapped. I started in 76, so it slightly overlapped with my last few months in my military career, but it was good, 32 years.
And Wayne, how did you get through all of those things, and you look pretty good for the wear, by the way, and get into helping people with a Veterans in Crisis Training Program?
Well, after I left law enforcement, I went to work for the Upper Midwest Community Policing Institute, and it's a nonprofit out of Woodbury, and we provide training and technical assistance to law enforcement agencies, not only in Minnesota, but across the country. And during 2009, when the Yellow Ribbon, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon and the Yellow Ribbon community started going, they approached us through the chaplain of Minnesota Chiefs Association, who's a personal friend, and were indicating that part of the Yellow Ribbon network and the communities, they wanted law enforcement to receive some kind of training on reintegration with our warriors coming back. And they meaning the Yellow Ribbon people and the Chiefs Association, approached us. And in 2009, we developed a short little roll call type of training where we went across the state and delivered about a two-hour training to different law enforcement agencies. And just about reintegration and something about the community and how it impacts the community. And the result of that with the evaluations, they said that all the officers indicated that they wanted more training. They understood that there were issues. Some national issues were coming up every once in a while. But for the most part, they wanted to know more about PTSD, TBI, stigma, and how it affects them as law enforcement officers and how it affects their community. And so we took that information back and went to work and developed an 8-hour training that we received a grant from the federal government to take across the country. We did. We'd done that for about a year and a half. And as a result of our training and as far as the people that we talked to improved it, we think. And there was a strong call for this training in the law enforcement community in Minnesota.
We're speaking with Wayne Shellum, Services Director for the Upper Midwest Community Policing Institute on Minnesota Military Radio. Wayne, I'm sure a lot of our listeners don't think about it, but our law enforcement officers in your 32 years that you were there, you didn't just get up and get in the squad every day. There was training and things that happened. And the Highway Patrol, I know, trains up at Camp Ripley. And in all those years in law enforcement, society changes, things change. Our law enforcement officers retrain as well, don't they?
We retrain every year. And there's training requirements that come up every year, and they have to have continuing education. So, training is ongoing.
And as society changes, and of course, in the last 10, 11 years, we've had deployments overseas, lots of wars, and a lot of veterans coming back, and some of them have some problems. And that's why they do the veterans courts and some of the other things. And I would guess that because of that thing that happened in society, that's why you got into doing this program. And there was a predecessor program, wasn't there?
Yes, there was. The predecessor program was the one that we did throughout the country. We had an opportunity to train a similar program in many areas, including Fayetteville, North Carolina, San Antonio, Seattle, San Diego, all around where there's major military installations, actually. And it was quite successful throughout the country, and it kind of showed us the need that's out there in law enforcement.
So the current program, Veterans in Crisis Training, what's the mission of it and who's your audience?
The current training is a result of the Minnesota legislature, and we got great bipartisan support from the legislature. Senator Rest and Representative Detmer were the two that really authored the bills and kept going. And we received the funding through the legislature, and the whole scope of it is to train law enforcement, public safety personnel to include EMTs, police chaplains. We just did a training up in Bemidji where we had some critical incident specialists and some social workers attend the training, and to appraise them of what's going on, what conditions are of these people that are coming back, and how do they reintegrate in the community, all the time stressing that not everybody that comes back is messed up, to be frank. Most of our people that are coming back fine. It's they're isolated incidents where they affect the community and affect themselves and their families that we want to open up the eyes and ears and just kind of let people know in the law enforcement community what our service members have been through and where they're going.
Wayne, I want to just reinforce that. We had Dr. Pelusny on a couple of months ago from the Minneapolis VA Hospital, and she ran a study of some of those deployments recently, and she said fully 93% or more of the soldiers coming back were just fine. There was a small minority that experienced some problems. So I don't want our listeners or business owners to think all of our veterans are damaged goods. They're changed, certainly, but most of them are pretty good. But your training is aimed at helping those people that deal with veterans recognize and deal with those few that might have some trouble?
That's exactly right, because law enforcement is going to be the first line. Those are the people on the line that are going to get the calls when there's a crisis with a veteran and the family. And that's why we felt it was especially important to get to the law enforcement practitioners and with the support that we need to give them and the training we need to give them. And we're not giving them new communication skills. We're just enhancing the ones that they have and then making them aware of some other things that they can have their antennas out and pick up on in order to de-escalate a situation.
Wayne, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to dig into that a little bit and some of the types of instances where you can provide training that might give a law enforcement officer an edge or an opportunity and the knowledge on how to deal with a certain problem, because I think that's where you're headed. We're talking to Wayne Shellum, Services Director from the Upper Midwest Community Policing Institute on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been joined today by Wayne Shellum, the Services Director from the Upper Midwest Community Policing Institute, and we're talking about the Veterans in Crisis Training. Now, Wayne, we kind of outlined what that was in the first segment, but for those who just tuned in, what's this training program about, who's it aimed at, and what do you teach them?
Well, we aim the training to law enforcement community specifically, but we invite other members of the community, public service agencies, ambulance personnel, county prosecutors, city prosecutors can attend. But primarily it's a training aimed at the law enforcement community, first responders across the state that may come in contact with a veteran in crisis and not know it.
And by veteran in crisis, I'm assuming we're talking about police officers. And if there's a domestic situation, if there's something that happened and we've got a veteran that's suffering from PTSD or some other problems from as a result of a deployment or being in war, you're trying to give those officers a little bit of edge, some knowledge?
Yes, we are. And the knowledge that we give them are just maybe signs and signals, for one. You drive up answering a call for a domestic and park your car enough away and walk up the sidewalk, for example, and have a call for a domestic disturbance. There's sometimes a yellow ribbon, or maybe there's a decal on the back of a truck that you might not understand what it's all about. Just signs and signals that would give an officer an idea. And also maybe ask the right questions when they go in and talk to somebody that might be having a problem. And if they recognize as it being a service member, that there's ways of talking and there's ways of communicating with them that may help diffuse the situation. And in addition, with their understanding that law enforcement is trained one way on a use of force continuum. A service member who just got back from overseas and on a deployment, they have a different use of force continuum, and they're very highly trained, and they're trained more than the cops are, to be honest. And so this is an officer safety issue, and this is where we draw the correlation between what a service member does and what a law enforcement officer does, and there is striking similarities between the two. But we want to make sure that law enforcement understand that this is this officer safety. This is for your benefit to recognize a service member that you may be coming in contact with.
So you want to let them know to be careful not to accidentally cause a reaction that's unwanted.
Exactly. Because it could go south real fast.
Do you go over some case studies in this training? What do you go through?
Well, we do. We have a number of videos that we show, and we talk about different case studies and have videos on those case studies. Domestics are one of them that we take apart. We have a video of an actual case study of North Dakota, a service member in North Dakota who came back and led the police on and the state troopers in North Dakota on a wild chase. And this was 2 or 3 years ago, and was clearly suffering from PTSD and was in a standoff for about 3 hours up out of Minot, North Dakota. And we discussed that, and we discussed different things that the troopers did and the conversations with them that de-escalated a situation that was ultimately ended in everybody being safe, but could have gone south real quick.
So you took a hard look at what caused it and what happened during the incident and then how they diffused it and everybody kind of lived happily ever after, although I'm sure that North Dakota veteran was in some trouble.
Well, he was, and accountability is a big thing. We're not doing our training to tell these officers to give these people a break. Accountability is what they live with when they were deployed and when they're in the service, and I know. I've been there. So accountability is a big deal with law enforcement and the service member, and we're not telling them to give them a break. We're just saying that accountability is big, and getting them help is even bigger.
People make mistakes, and let's not make it into something bigger. Let's diffuse it and handle it and put it behind us and move on.
Yes, that's right.
We're speaking with Wayne Shellum, Services Director from the Upper Midwest Community Policing Institute, and on Minnesota Military Radio. Wayne, you were talking about the programs available for more than just law enforcement. It's some social service agencies, and I asked you off the air if you made this Veterans in Crisis training available to our county veteran service officers. And I'm very curious about this. We have them on the show as often as we can because they serve a great purpose in Minnesota. But my guess is that an awful lot of the veterans that go see their county veteran service officer have some kind of issue. Some of them might be mad about a claim. Some of them might be stirred up about PTSD. Who knows what it is? Or it could be a routine thing. So I suppose the opportunity is there for a veteran to come in that's kind of agitated, and then the busy county's veteran service officer has to know how to deal with it.
Yes, that's right. And it's one thing that we noticed in Minnesota, in the Minnesota training, is the active county veteran service officer role and the role they play in this whole thing. And as a result, we have a module in the middle of the day where we have invited the county veteran service officer to wherever we go in the state of Minnesota. And we've been all over the state in just this early phase of training to come during the day, or at least during lunch, and talk about what they do, and just at least just put their face up and say, this is who I am, and this is what I do. And the officers, for the most part, are feverishly writing down his telephone number because they don't know. And it's the same way with a Family Assistance Center representative that's there. They're there all the time, and they say, this is what we can do. One of the parts of this whole training that we found is very, very effective is the resources section, where we tell the cops and everybody else that's in the room what's available out there other than just picking up this veteran and saying, I don't have any place to go. I'm going to take him to the hospital. I'm going to take him to the VA. And that's their answer. Whereas the veteran service officers work closely, a lot of them work closely in greater Minnesota with their sheriff's offices and police departments, and the Family Assistance Center does a wonderful job of letting them know, hey, there's help out there for law enforcement and the public safety community that you may not be aware of, and it's been going over very well.
So you're also supplying some of those resources like the MACV, the Minneapolis Assistance Council for Veterans, and some of those other organizations that are out there to help veterans that are having some kind of problem.
Yes, we do. And the law enforcement community has given us feedback and saying, you know, for this particular module especially, we just didn't know that there was help out there, and we didn't know where to turn to if a veteran's wife came into their office and said, hey, I've got a problem. My spouse is having some problems. Can you direct me? And they've been very successful with that.
So, Wayne, how often do you have these training sessions? Where are they, and how do we find out about them?
Well, the training session started in February, and so far we've been out across the state. In fact, our training team, which consists of a law enforcement instructor and a military person, so we have two different perspectives on the problem. And our team just actually got back yesterday from Wilmer. Moorhead, we've been there, Elk River, Buffalo, Crookston, Bemidji, and we've got coming up in Mankato and Faribault and Richfield on the 22nd of May. So we're going across the state. We're hitting all corners. We have probably about 10 or 15 more agencies that have said we want to do it, so we're going all across the state, and we're at umcpi.org. Our training is listed there. All the training sites are listed there. And if anybody wants to contact me, they can contact me through there, and I would be very happy to talk to them about the training. And if somebody wants to host it, just give me a call.
And for our listeners, if you didn't pick that up, just go to the Minnesota Military Radio Facebook page, and we'll have a link to that site so you can see where this training occurs. Wayne, we just got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
It's really an honor to do this training. I remember the 1970 to 76 era, and I remember how, quite frankly, we were treated back then. And we were easy to pick out. We had the short hair. And it's just very gratifying to get this word out and to help our service members.
Wayne, you're providing a great service. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
This is Wayne Shellum, Services Director, Upper Midwest Community Policing Institute, for on the Veterans in Crisis Training Program on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be back in a moment to see what resources are available for our homeless Minnesota veterans.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers, and when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with the family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. The foundation provides financial support during a financial crisis at home. This helps re-energize the soldier. The soldier feels the financial burden lifted and has feelings of pride because of the support from the community at home. When the soldier is no longer focused on the financial crisis at home, the soldier is able to stay engaged in the mission and do his duty to protect other soldiers in the squad. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to talk about what resources are available for our homeless Minnesota veterans. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
I believe one of our greatest strengths as a department is our ability to anticipate and embrace change. This willingness to find new and better ways to serve Minnesota veterans and their families remains evident. As deployments and military op tempos slow down around the globe, our tempo increases. Minnesota has more than 370,000 veterans, and the needs this year are just as numerous and diverse as the people we serve. With this in mind, partnerships are more important than ever before, especially as we make progress in the area of veterans homelessness prevention. In addition to continued work with the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, we are full speed ahead with our Minnesota Operation for Veterans Empowerment Program to provide housing, education, and resources to veterans in need. Without question, our country and state are undergoing disruptions, but the expertise and creativity of our staff, combined with strong support from our state leaders, has allowed us to meet these challenges better than ever. Our vision for the future, to fulfill the needs of Minnesota veterans and their families, is becoming a reality.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now to talk about homelessness among Minnesota veterans is Jonelle Glepke. She is the Program Director, Mental Health Homeless Programs, and Director of the VA Community Resource and Referral Center located in downtown Minneapolis. Jonelle, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Jonelle, how long have you been working for the VA?
About 13 years.
And have you been working on homeless vets all that time?
No, I started out as an intern at the VA in 2000 and then moved over to mental health outpatient care, and in 2007 moved over to the homeless programs.
I think you told me that your background was as a social worker?
Correct.
Okay, and what led you to volunteer to go out and see if you could eliminate Minnesota veteran homelessness? Seems like a big job.
It is one that I'm very passionate about. In working in mental health outpatient care, certainly seeing veterans who are struggling, living on the streets and in shelters, really needing somebody who can be supportive for them and really meet them where they're at. And I really saw that that was something that I really wanted to do.
So you came across some of this when you were working with VA before you moved into this position?
Absolutely.
Okay. How big of a problem is veteran homelessness in Minnesota?
Unfortunately, it is a problem. In 2013, the HUD point in time count, which is the Housing Urban Development, they do a count every year in January to identify homeless individuals and families. In 2013, they identified 349 veterans who are living in our shelters and are unsheltered as well.
So how do they accomplish that count? Do they go where the homeless veterans hang out? Do they go to the shelters? That sounds like you're trying to catch smoke.
It's a huge endeavor, and it's a community effort, really, that occurs on a national basis, and every community participates in that, and the VA participates as well, where we all work together on that day, that night, to go to homeless shelters, to go to other places where they may be to identify them.
We must have to interview them to figure out whether or not they're veteran or non-veteran and where they came from and some other things.
Correct. The process is they use a very short survey to further understand who the person is, and there is a question to identify if they are, in fact, a veteran.
Okay, so once a year you find out how many are still out there. What do you do about it?
Well, you know, in 2009, VA Secretary Shinseki named Ending Veteran Homelessness one of the major initiatives nationally. And from that point, they encouraged every local VA to take a very close look at what they're doing and having us focus on certain areas like our outreach and education, prevention, our treatment services, housing and supportive services, income, employment and benefits, and also, most importantly, our community partnerships.
You must be coordinating your efforts with the MACV when they do the stand-downs?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're definitely there.
And do we have one of those stand-downs coming up in the Twin Cities sometime soon?
We do in August. I don't recall the exact dates, but it's happening in early August.
And we'll have MACV on before that, so we'll find out about that. But
good.
I assume then you're out at the stand-downs?
Yes.
And could you tell our listeners what is a stand-down?
Sure. A stand-down is an event where many providers work together on one day, in the metro, there's 2 days. Minnesota Assistance Council veterans really solicit a lot of volunteers to work with serving those veterans during those 2 days. And so there's a range of services and providers there to assist them with whatever they're needing.
And will that be out at the Boy Scout facility out by the Fort Snelling again?
Yes.
So they publicize that pretty well, and there's transportation and try to get all the homeless veterans out there. And from what I understand in the past, you try to help them with whatever you can and determine what caused this homelessness, what caused you to lose a job, do you have any court issues, do you have any family issues, and as well as things like clean clothes and medical care. So
yes.
We must have just a lot of people out there.
A lot of people. And one of the other things that is happening every day is our center in downtown Minneapolis, the Community Resource and Referral Center, which is very similar in that there's many services under one roof to really meet veterans' needs. So that happens every day.
We're speaking with Jonelle Glubke from the Minneapolis VA about homelessness among Minnesota veterans on Minnesota Military Radio. Jonelle, you must, when you find a homeless veteran that wants help and wants to cure this, you must have to work with them one at a time. You can't work with them as a group, I wouldn't think. You got to just take one person at a time and say, okay, how can we help you?
That's right. And every veteran is very unique and their situation is very individual. And so it is a case-by-case basis. So our staff down at the Community Resource and Referral Center do initial assessment and referrals and try to work with that veteran in identifying what is the best next step and helping them move forward.
So to find the next best step, you kind of have to prioritize what issues they have and get rid of them one at a time?
Absolutely. And sometimes it is just focusing on the housing crisis that's happening in the immediate and then continuing to work from there. So we have several programs to address where veterans are at. And sometimes it's maybe providing them with employment services and helping them get back into the workforce. But other times it may be a very specific program that can help them move forward.
So what type of housing options do you have or resources do you have to help those homeless veterans with?
Sure. I mentioned the Community Resource and Referral Center, and we were one of 17 federally funded sites nationally, and we opened our doors in September 2012. And at that center, we have an array of services. We have housing and shelter referrals, mental health counseling, chemical dependency services. We have our own primary care clinic on site, as well as community partners who come on site. You mentioned MACV. MACV comes to the center to provide additional services, as well as staff from the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs. Our CVSOs join us there, and just an array of other providers. In addition to that, is we have basic services at the center. We have showers, laundry, a computer lab, and also a community room. And it's really important because oftentimes with veterans experiencing homelessness, those things aren't easily accessible.
Now, do these veterans generally know you're there?
Yes, and we work diligently with our community to make sure that our veterans know that we're there. And we also do a lot of outreach, which is the foundation of what we do. So we also have staff who go out into the shelters, also working with our community partners to educate around our services and about the center.
Now, are most of the veterans in a mood to look for help to fix their situation, or some of them just don't care?
You know, I think there's a wide range. There's veterans who come in who are really just looking for a resource. Others where they're really looking for a safe place to go, and sometimes it's starting at that point. We really work towards engaging with every veteran who comes to our center or in outreach to really help them identify the things that they want to work on. But sometimes that's not always clear when there's a lot of other crisis going on. So we very much specialize our services to every veteran.
Jonelle, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk about an example or two of some of the veterans that you've helped in the last year or so. We're speaking with Jonelle Glupke from the Minneapolis VA Community Resource and Referral Center on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Hello, I'm Tom Lyons, founder and principal partner of Phelan Partners Limited, a Twin Cities mergers and acquisitions advisory firm where we help business owners to plan, prepare, and execute a strategy to complete the deal. When I'm not hosting Minnesota Military Radio on this station, I'm hard at work helping business owners with their exit strategies. If you're interested in selling a business, please give us a call at 763-231-4200 at Phelan Partners Limited. We've been bringing buyers and sellers together since 1985 and would welcome an opportunity to help you. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been visiting with Jonelle Glupke, who is Program Director, Mental Health Homeless Programs, and Director of the VA Community Resource and Referral Center, located in downtown Minneapolis, and we've been talking about homelessness among Minnesota veterans. Jonelle, that's quite a... Every time I have somebody on from one of our agencies, there's a long name. But we got through that one.
Good.
Can you tell us what is your mission, and what do you actually do?
Sure. Our mission is to support veterans in ending homelessness or serving veterans who are at risk of homelessness by really promoting physical and mental health, by providing and assisting housing, with maintaining housing, and working with veterans to achieve increased community integration. So we provide a lot of services from primary care, mental health, housing programs, et cetera, at the Community Resource and Referral Center through the VA.
Sounds like a big mission and a challenging mission.
Yes.
I hope you're up for it. You look like you are.
I am.
Jonelle, before we went to the break, we were talking about housing and housing options. Do you have a lot of options? If a veteran's ready and they want help and they want to get back into the community, most of these veterans, something happened in their life that started them on a downward spiral, but now they come to you, they want to get back.
Yep. Absolutely. We certainly work with our community very closely because there's options throughout the community, but also specific VA programs. One program that we have is that we partner with community agencies to provide short-term, sober, supportive, and structured transitional programming for veterans. And that program is specifically for veterans who are struggling with mental health issues or substance use issues, likely unemployed, and that this program really provides intensive services for them to help them get back on track, really address the issues that they're experiencing through counseling, help them get connected to employment services, and ultimately help them find their own permanent housing in the community.
Jonelle, if they're homeless and they're on the streets and they're unemployed, and even if you have temporary housing or permanent housing, how do you deal with that first month's rent, the security deposit? How do you get these veterans into a home so that you can stabilize them and give them some treatment and get them back into society?
Well, a few ways. There are a few programs that are available. One is through the VA Supportive Services Veterans and Families Grant. And MACV, as we mentioned earlier, the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, is one of the VA grantees who provide that assistance throughout the state of Minnesota. So we work very closely together and collaborate with every individual veteran and what their situation is to see if they're eligible for something like that. The other program that we have is a permanent supportive housing program, and that is providing permanent housing in the community, and the focus is really serving veterans who are experiencing long-term chronic homelessness, and those veterans who are eligible are experiencing a lot of vulnerability. Oftentimes they have a long list of issues that are going on. Legal difficulties, poor rental history, long-term unemployment, mental health issues, and chemical dependency. So we partner with the public housing authorities throughout the community, and we then, the VA case management staff, provide the intensive services for those veterans to maintain not only their housing, but to help them with their lifelong recovery goals.
So you really have to know where all the resources are available, whether it's the State Soldiers Assistance Fund from the MDVA or anything that's out there, so that you pull in the appropriate pieces to try to help these homeless veterans get back on their feet.
Most definitely. Our relationships with those community partners are key, and really our effort all together is what's most important in serving our veterans.
Jonelle, we just got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners about this big job, taking care of homeless Minnesota veterans?
You know, I can't say enough about our community and the VA effort around this issue, and I know that we are making an impact. Veteran homelessness is decreasing in Minnesota, and we certainly have many tools and resources available to meet our veterans' needs.
Jonelle, thanks for visiting with us today.
Thank you.
That was Jonelle Glepke from the VA Community Resource and Referral Center on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is the Scott County Veteran Service Officer, Todd Kubinski. Todd, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Morning, Tom. How are you doing?
Doing real well, Todd. What's your biggest issue this month?
Well, we're very proud to say that we are we have a date certain for the opening of our clinic here in Scott County, the community-based outpatient clinic. It looks like the VA has already started accepting calls for that. The clinic has a phone number, but they're actually the calls are being routed back to the Patient Access Center at Minneapolis. They're putting together a waiting list, and then in May, once they get the schedule together, they will call the veterans to schedule their first appointments.
Now, what's that mean for our veterans south of the river? If they want to go to that clinic, what do they do?
They call 952-445-4070.
So they just call in and say, would you transfer my records to the new clinic? I'd like to be seen out there.
Absolutely. And then they'll set them up with an initial visit with the primary doctor.
Well, I think Sergeant Ben will have that phone number listed on the Minnesota Military Radio Facebook site for anybody that didn't get it.
Awesome.
So are you getting pretty excited about this clinic?
I am. I can't wait for it. There isn't a day that doesn't go by. We don't get a call for it. When's it going to open? Who do we call to get it done? So we're exciting to get more and more information, more concrete information. In fact, I had the clinic director out here talking with us, and she's the one that actually sent us the email that gave us the information on it. So we're pretty happy.
Good. Todd, I want to ask you about this. There was an article in a certain paper recently that talked about county veteran service officers, and they quoted some statistics that don't sound quite like the things you and I have been talking about the last few months. Did you see that? And what's going on with our county veteran service officers? Are the visits down? It sounded like you guys are busy as ever.
Yeah, I haven't seen a decrease in our visits. You know, we get some periodic ones, but I think our overall visits are are just as steady, if not increased, since, you know, in the past couple of years. Some offices may be seeing a decrease in traffic, and a lot of that has to do with the transient nature of veterans. Most veterans will move around a few times before they finally pick a spot to settle down in. It's hard not to get that itch once a year or once every other year to get on an aircraft and go somewhere. It's kind of what you do when you're in the service. I'm you know, the problem is that the numbers that they look at, that the reporter looked at, were probably the GDX numbers that the VA puts out, and those are based off Census Bureau. And they automatically put in a reduction of population for some strange reason. You know, the census told me that 3 years ago I had 7,800 veterans. Now the census says I have just shy of 7,200. But I know that my population has actually grown in that time period. So you got to take it with a grain of salt.
That's what I thought. It sounds like you and every other county veteran service officer we've talked to are plenty busy taking good care of our veterans.
Yeah, we absolutely are. And our biggest issues get the word out, and we do that by appearing on your radio program, which has been tremendously helpful. And hopefully more and more stations throughout the state will pick it up and play it, because I do know they listen to it here in New Prague.
So as usual, if you're out there listening and you're a veteran, get your discharge paper, your DD-214, and go visit your county veteran service officer, because you may not need them now, but you might need them in the future, and your family might need them sometime in the future.
Absolutely. And even if you don't have your 214, we can help get you that. And if you're wondering who your county veteran service officer is, just get on the Google machine there and type in macvso.org. That'll get you right to our website. There's a directory on there. You'll even get to see a picture of our smiling face. And they'll have the phone numbers and fax numbers and email all listed there for you.
Todd, nice talking to you again. Keep up the good work and take good care of our Scott County veterans.
I sure will, Tom. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That was Todd Kubinski, our Scott County Veteran Service Officer on Minnesota Military Radio. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Wayne Shellum, Jonelle Glebke, Todd Kubinski, Commissioner Larry Shelato, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about an upcoming deployment for our Minnesota troops. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.